established symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome back to AdFreeShows.com, where it's just another day in the life of our top tier members who are hanging out tonight with not a horseman, but a Hall of Famer nonetheless.
Easy. You haven't earned the stripes to be giving me some nonsense like Conrad. So I see several fours up.
Okay. I've honestly earned nothing, Jeff. I really just get by on my great sense of humor. So that's okay. But we're
have some good times.
We are. We're glad to have you here anyway. And I'm glad to have all of you guys here as well. So let's jump right in. Zoll with question number one. First of all, though, Zoll, I need to know, team horseman, team not a horseman. What's Jeff Jarrett?
Oh, he was easily the human fast forward button for me, just like Conrad said. But thanks to my world, I have a newfound appreciation and love for Jeff Jarrett. Now, in my older years,
oh, there you go. Earned Lauren, my stripes.
Lauren, as always, looking fabulous. Thank you for your hosting tonight. Double J, very excited to be chatting with you here tonight, sir. All joking and ribbing aside. First of all, I think I speak for many whenever I say thank you for being vulnerable. A couple weeks ago with To Hell to and Back with the latest episode or last week. It's very much appreciated, especially for those that are battling those addictions. So thank you.
Right on. Appreciate that.
And my question for you tonight, sir, is we've got Top Guy Weekend coming up in Chicago. And I've been asking all the ad-free shows hosts through these Zoom calls, when it comes to meeting on meet and greets, what are some rules that you would suggest perhaps some newbies who are going to be meeting you or other fellow idols of theirs that they grew up with for the first time? What are some suggestions that you would give?
Oh, Jeff wow. Jarrett, wait, first you have to tell us what not to do, thanks to Pondwater Dave. Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't remember that. I'm not sure. Oh, well, yeah. Yes, I do. Now that took me a second. Oh, yeah. Pondwater came out strong with the, oh, God, bless his heart. But hey, the segue, Pondwater had a few too many adult beverages. Bless his heart. He just started rolling that night. But all kidding aside, so I guess I want to make sure I understand the question specifically, what not to do in a meet and greet line in a lot of ways. That is something that I think more than anything is kind of awareness. You know, if the line's real long, you can, and look, I get it. Sometimes it just the nature of the beast that you can't spend as much time with each individual fan, consumer, buddy, whatever you want to cachet it as. I think that more than anything, like it's sort of common sense manners. Don't wear out your welcome. Also, okay. So that's kind of a situational set of circumstances. One thing for sure, when you want something signed, just come prepared. It's that simple. I don't want to be fiddling around. You don't want to be fiddling around for pens and markers. And, you know, I've done a lot this first quarter of the year, and folks that come up and have, I want it in a pink paint pen, and I want you to sign it right here, and I want you to sign this on there. I don't mind. Just give me the instructions, and I'll do it. But it's one of those things, hey, I want an autograph. Would you have a pen and paper? No. But, you know, that kind of stuff. So that'd probably be the easiest. Come prepared. Awareness and preparedness. Those two things.
All right, getting granular already. Thank you so much,
sir. There you
go,
brother. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate the comments earlier as well.
Awareness and preparedness, not only in meet and greet situations, but in life. Always come correct, aware, and prepared, you guys. Michael McClanahan, I bet you never come unprepared for anything. You definitely always bring the questions. Hey,
here
Michael.
Here he comes. He's teeing it right now.
Good evening. You guys know me so well. Thank you so much for getting me on, Lauren. And Jeff, I greatly appreciate it. Jeff, first, congratulations on 1 year of the My World podcast. And that ties into my question for tonight. It's kind of a two-parter, but it's really simple. The first question is, what have you learned over the past year about podcasting that you didn't expect? And then the second part of the question is, what have you kind of learned about yourself that you didn't expect from going back through and revisiting some of these stories from your life and career?
With age, wisdom doesn't always come with it. You have to be aware of that. You know, you really have to dial in. That's what I've learned. That I look back on some of the situations through the iterations, whether it's USWA, WWF, WCW, back and forth, TNA. Some of those, candidly, I made the same mistake a lot of times over and over. And I think that goes with kids or adults. Be aware of the mistakes, and you can correct them if you're aware of them, but you have to focus on that. And then, what was the first question you had? It was, what did I learn about podcasting?
Yeah. What did you learn about podcasting?
I think more than anything is that, like, if I go to a movie, I kind of cheat and say, all right, how long is this movie? I kind of already want to know how long the movie's going to be. I've got maybe a short attention span. Maybe that's a part of my genetic makeup. But Conrad from the beginning said, tell the story. Some days we may go an hour and a half. Sometimes we may go three. And I was like, wow, that's a long, long, you know, but he's absolutely right that I've learned a lot about podcasting. It is a story. And although sometimes I feel, and rightly so, I get too granular, we'll use that word, too deep into it. And then other times Conrad will say, you didn't go deep enough. I know there was more there, but anyway, it's, it is a lot of, you know, it is a hybrid of storytelling and a little bit of entertainment. And, I've, you know, based off that comment that we kicked things off with, in a lot of ways, just kind of the truth will set you free. And I think that is something that others can resonate with, that I can't tell you how many, probably more texts and DMs than emails, but I still probably got, I don't know, 25 emails on last week's episode and a couple others in the past. So that blew me, those kind of moments kind of blow me away that, wow, okay. Just me getting on podcast and telling my story resonates. But that's, I said it today earlier in the interview, we don't live life alone, period. End of story. So share with others. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much. And I just want to add at the end, you know, you'll always be considered a four horseman in my world.
There we go. Not a horseman, the horseman is how,
oh my gosh,
that's how I like to phrase it. This past weekend in Mexico is Cuatro Caballero. It was unbelievable. The whole stadium was chanting that, Lauren. So next question.
Next question. I'm going to call Arn Anderson for the next question. But first, it's Brad Stanton. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good to see you. Evening. Except for Jeff.
Good to see you. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
So August of 2021, I ordered a Jeff Jarrett action figure from Zombie.
Yep.
Sailor Toys.
Is it not in yet?
No.
Wow. I talked to Cardona not long ago. those figures of the, I'm so bad at like cash quantifying or calling it what it is, but the figures that me and Conrad are in for Cardona, they've left China and they're sitting in a port. It may be a week, it may be a month. But you know what? I actually am going to reach out to Zombie when we get done tonight to get an update. I may actually text him right now.
I'm actually just kidding with you. I mean, you know, when are it comes to him,
are they
no,
not,
it's
in? Not
it? No, it's definitely not in.
No, I mean, seriously, once you know that our business transaction was done back then, because it was only a limited amount that he ordered. So, but no, I will text him when we get done.
Awesome. Hey, Jeff, thanks for everything you do. I really love the show and everything you've been doing. So thanks for everything.
I'm going to text him right now. I may have an answer. That kind of aggravates me.
How's that for customer service? You can get Jeff Jarrett on the line for you.
Can you read you the text that I send him?
I can just believe you.
Yeah. No, I was going to say is you won't like the language.
Oh, my goodness. He said that he could just believe you. But, Jeff, you keep telling me you're a horseman. So you've been proven to be not believable all the time. So
come on now.
We might need to hear the text message. I'm kidding. All right, up next is RJ.
What are the blank figures coming in?
Uh-oh, blank, blank, he says. Oh. RJ Krasinski, what you got
for RJ, tighten
hey,
up.
Hey, Lauren. So normally I would come in here, Mr. Jarrett, and boast about the Bills and the fantastic draft we had.
Delusional.
And, you know, say ask you why you traded away your best receiver, but I won't go that far. My real question is, as you know, I have a lot invested in Impact Wrestling. I actually took my son to his first pay-per-view, which was Rebellion for Impact in Poughkeepsie.
Yep.
So my question, what do you think Impact needs to do to get to that next level to legitimately compete with likes of AEW if possible? Is it national television? Because a lot of the times access isn't accessed, pun intended, to yep. a lot of television homes.
That goes without saying, not just they have any promotion. But, you know, you can look at branding. We could talk for hours, if not days, on this. Branding. What is the brand? A truly identifiable mark that I don't want to say sets you apart, because that feels like you're saying extreme, but the branding part of it, it's in this market, New Japan. It goes without saying, that's a Japanese promotion, AAA Mexico promotion, Game Changer Wrestling. You kind of know right off the top of your head. It's a king of the death matches, but it's much broader than that. But when you get into it, so what is the calling card? I think that, and then obviously awareness and exposure. But this day and age with digital media and everything that goes with it, you can go a long way with social and digital.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really digging what they're doing, but all the love in the world, Jeff. I really appreciate what you're doing and all the stories that you have, especially this past week. And it really does a lot for a lot of people.
Appreciate it, RJ.
All right. Up next is Ram. Hey, Ram.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Jeff. Got the chance to meet you briefly at PAX in Boston, so thank you for taking the time.
How about WrestleQuest?
Yes, yes. And it was pretty amazing seeing people everywhere is walking by holding up four fingers, and you know,
yep. it's all the rage no matter where I go.
I know it's amazing, but and that's kind of what my question is, going back to 1997.
Okay.
Did you feel a lot of pressure being the leader of the Four Horsemen during that period of time?
Of course I did. You know, we've all had a lot of fun, specifically me and Conrad, and then it's just kind of spilled over into that. But all kidding aside, and my, you know, the social media team, they're the ones that go look, you know, that have the different clips and this and that. And just kind of, when you go back and sort of rewatch it in chronological order, you can, and Conrad, he won't admit this, but you kind of go through the hypotheticals. Well, what if Jeff and Flair would have gone down that road and had a big match, so to speak? And kind of Jeff wins, he's in Jeff, well, you know, what a leader, however it would have been. I think it'd have been interesting, but, it certainly made a lot of chatter in the last 12 months. But that time, as everyone knows, it was WCW was crazy successful and shot up like a rocket, and sort of the underbelly of that, if there was one, was, there was the NWO angle, and then a lot of others that came and went every week.
So. Well, I think people forget, like during that period of time where you were a horseman, you had the United States title. Flair didn't have a title. No one else had a title. You were the horseman who had a title. So
there you go. See? More validation.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff, you're an imposter. And if the horsemen were actual horses, you would be like the miniature donkey following behind them, dragging that title around. But that's okay. Eddie Prather, what's your take on this one?
My friend Jeff is a horseman.
He lies.
Him and Mongo had a match. Jeff won. That made him a horseman. He got his raised hand. Ric Flair verified it. But knowing Ric Flair at his age, it's hard for him to remember what he had for breakfast. So
easy, Bubba.
Yeah, I take that bet. It's on video. It's on video. Go to the Peacock.
Okay.
It would prove that Jeff is a Horseman. Jeff, I believe, is the only guy to be a member of the Horseman and the NWO. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
I'm not up for trivia tonight. And Bullet Club, you can throw that in there too. And a few other, look, if we stay on here long enough, I will have led Skandar Akbar's army in Dallas and a couple of other factions. But no, what's your question, pal?
My question for you is, do you have any great stories about Robert Fuller?
Oh, I don't have a great story. I have many, many, many. Robert's an incredible storyteller himself. Quick Robert Fuller story. Robert was never a guy who worked out in the gym, like hardly ever throughout his career. But there was a time that me and him and Nightmare Danny Davis, when we were riding the roads of Tennessee, I actually got Robert Fuller in the gym consistently, and he began to like it. And that was something that I never would see. I'd love to get his take on that. But Robert's a good man, and our families go back three generations. So,
was that during the time period where you were teaming up with him when he became a babyface?
USWA, for sure.
Yeah. I remember that. I was absolutely shocked when you brought him in as your tag team partner. Thank you for answering my question, Jeff.
Appreciate it. And I'm looking on the screen. Apologies for a little distraction there. The Zombie Sailor action figure. Where is my guy? Did he already leave?
Was that Brad who asked that question?
I'm still here, Jeff. I didn't leave.
Hey, there you go. Now it is. He just responded back. Probably July. He showed me images of them loaded on the boat, literally the canister on the boat. So I knew it was a shipping issue. So he's very hopeful for July. Didn't he tell us late February, early March delivery?
I don't remember anymore.
I think it was. So that's why I'm like, whoa. But so, it's going to be 2 months, 3 months, but that goes with a lot of things.
Hey, I understand. I can't get any new cars in right now at the car dealership either, so I get it.
You know the pain.
Yeah, I definitely do. Well, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Brad, good things come to those who wait. And Frank Bruno, I've been waiting a while to see you again, my friend. Tighten up and say hello to Jeff Jarrett.
Well, as usual, I'm not here to talk wrestling with Jeff. I'm here to talk about the WTF moment on Thursday night that I don't think I've slept since it happened. And I'm kind of curious, Jeff, how you felt about that, because I'm still very much in shock.
So I was packing last Thursday night. I won't get too long-winded on this. I was packing last Thursday night to go to Triple Mania. And I had gone in the bedroom. I had the draft on up in where I'm sitting now, up here. But I'd gone down there, and I just had not got the TV on yet. And I got a text, and then another text, and then another text. Like, bam, bam, bam. You know when your phone goes ding, ding.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So it's literally when it came out. I was in a little bit of a disbelief because I just thought they were going to sign him. I really did. But 24 hours later, they obviously have – much more knowledge than we do. One, two, we won with 93 players last year. So when you put it in context that maybe AJ Brown, I was a huge proponent of him signing.
Me too.
They want to spend their money their own way, and they know more than we do. And they obviously know deeper in the draft. And I still kind of think Robinson's got something up his sleeve in free agency. I've said that from the beginning. If he made that move, I think he's not dependent upon a rookie. He's got a backup of a backup. I think he knows more than we do. I was still shocked like you, man.
Yeah. All right. I knew that I wanted to just pick your brain on that. But if you trust him, I'll trust him. So
there you go.
I got you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. Good to see you.
Of course.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Frank Bruno. And I'm going to let this guy skip the line because he was really sweet to me in the chat. Aaron Gartland, good to see you. And thanks for being just a lovely person. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Lauren. It's nice to see everybody tonight. Hello, and I really appreciate you hosting us. Yes.
Good to see Jeff, you.
Yes, nice to see you, Jeff. Thank you. So, Jeff, I grew up in Southeast Alabama on Southeastern and Continental Championship Wrestling. I know you just touched on
Fuller's,
or discussed Robert. So, you know, for me, one of the introductions to Memphis was through the magazines at that point. And then also once AWA got on ESPN and we started moving into the Super Clash. By the way, I really enjoyed that podcast where you're discussing, I think it was Super Clash 3.
Yep.
But it was really cool during that time period for me to see a lot of the guys I associated with Southeastern and Continental on the on ESPN, on the AWA programs. And then they started doing the Renegade Rampage and all the various. So, you know, we got to see you and some of the guys from Memphis. Mm-hmm. And so basically, I just wanted to ask you if there were any memories about that time period and the guys that were kind of working in Continental, Austin Idol, Tommy Rich, the Fullers, Jimmy Golden, a lot of those guys, because then I started seeing them on ESPN. So I just,
I don't know if it's one of my best memories, but a fond memory I had, Eddie Gilbert went down there. And these are in the dying days of the territory, and all the territories were obviously passing away. But David Woods had taken over, and Eddie Gilbert wanted to bring me down and start using me, I guess you could say, semi-regularly. But just the lineage of the territory, the Armstrongs, the Fullers, all the talent that had been there late 70s, early 80s when it was really hot, red hot. I'd always heard all those stories from whether it's my father or Jerry Lawler or Dundee, just others that territory in the loop. And I was kind of envious that, I live in Nashville, obviously. And so we went either north or west up to Louisville and over to Memphis. That was sort of our general area. Always kind of dreamed of, man, wouldn't it be nice to have a run where you could do 3 or 4 days on the beach with Pensacola and down around that area. So, but Robert used to tell me about those stories as well. But with the Super Clash and the influx of talent, again, me and Conrad obviously covered it in depth on the podcast, but a lot of what ifs. Had those three promoters, my father, Vern Gagne, and Texas, had they really tried to work together, how that would have, I'm not saying it would have set the woods on fire, but I think it would have give a kind of a different look as the world transitioned from the territories into cable television because of the ESPN deal. And if the ESPN deal would have kept rolling along, that could have segued into, who knows where it could have gone. But you know, as we all know, USA Network and, the Turner Group, national brands, but you know, Viacom didn't have a brand of wrestling till years later. So a lot of what ifs. Interesting time. That's one of the things. The earlier question was, what did I learn? You know, look back at when we can look at the industry 25 plus years removed and just kind of see, boy, it makes things a lot more clearer today than it did 25 years ago. Good question, man. Appreciate it.
Up next.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yay. He's so sweet. He just can't say goodnight without a thank you. Bryant Haremza is up next. Hey, Bryant.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Jeff. Thanks for doing this.
Sure. Evening.
My question is more of a kind of a creative question for you. One of the characters I really got intrigued with in early TNA was Abyss. What were your ideas for the character? How did you see it playing out going forward? And did you kind of always see him being that monster role?
So, you know, he was on our first episode, first couple of shows at Huntsville, and then he went off to Puerto Rico. And obviously Dutch and me work closely together. I met Dutch when I was 13, 14 years old, and he was a part of the first angle I was in. So there's, you know, he was in WWF with me at the time with the, you know, so I've been working with or around Dutch since before day one. And so Dutch had the character in Puerto Rico, and in so many ways, the character was really created in Puerto Rico. And then we got him, you know, into TNA and the episodic nature and Father Jim Mitchell and just the storyline. What I always tried to do as far as character development, I say this with all due respect, but keep him a monster, kind of true to that, that he's such a good athlete, former football player, and wanted to do so much. I can remember one night in the Impact Zone, he was wrestling Kurt Angle, and they did a deal where they're wrestling. Anyway, I guess Kurt took his boot off, and then there's, you know, this monster, and obviously a nice white, shiny white, clean as a whistle, athletic sock, straight out of Foot Locker. And I'm like, that doesn't jive with the character. Why is a monster got on a nice looking athletic sock? I'm saying that is kind of silly and tongue in cheek, but also stay true to the character. I felt that was my job a lot of times, is let Dutch or Vince or even Borash or Bill Banks or Conway through the years, all the different members of creative and even talent that would pitch things. Believe it or not, I tried to keep it, step back and look at it, the whole show in context and try to keep everyone true to their character, because I believe in storytelling. You get out of bounds on one character, it makes it so much easier for the next two, three, four characters to kind of get out of their lane in a lot of ways. And then at the end of the day, you almost become a cookie cutter program. Make sense?
Makes total sense. I appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you. And tell Cody good luck this weekend.
Right on, man. I've had a lot of that. I've had several buddies in the industry text me that, so Friday's a big day in this house. Appreciate it very much. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Anthony Pyrus, every day is a big day in your house. What's up, Anthony?
Absolutely. Hello, Double J. This is Anthony Pyrus. In case you don't know how to spell it, it's A-N-T-H-O. N-Y-P-I-R-E-S. Jeff, how are you tonight?
Not a damn double letter in there. So you're disqualified right there.
I tried. A few weeks ago, you were the guest referee for the NWA title match at the Crockett Cup. I want to know what you think of that product. I love the NWA. I want to know what a former NWA champion such as yourself thinks of the product.
You know what? And I actually told Billy that night that I had done Springfield baseball. The dates, how they aligned, that I drove back from Springfield that Sunday, caught in two traffic jams. Anyway, we made it back, got to the building. I wish I could have digested night one or been at night one, because it was a two-night event. So
phenomenal two nights.
Yeah, kind of late to the party as far as what was going on. I did so much catching up backstage. You know, I know you're asking me specifically about the Crockett Cup, so I'm kind of giving you.
I want to know what you more think of the NWA.
Overall, again, okay. So if you're not specifically asking about the Crockett Cup, because I didn't get to see a lot, I was playing catch up, and then obviously had my match and a couple of production deals that I was being pulled in a couple of different directions, and my son Cody was there, so all that. Overall, though, what my comment was earlier, we know exactly what the NWA brand is. I mean, nobody has to ask. They pretty much stay true to their brand. Nick Aldis, I mean, you can just kind of go down the line, the Crockett Cup. Their branding, I think, is spot on. I think Billy is being trying to think of the right word, because I don't want to just say it's so easy. He's always being smart with his money. I think proactive. I think he's being strategic with the growth, because the NWA brand is they're spot on with that, and the growth and the transition. Look, I think if you had to name one promotion that the pandemic, I don't say hurt the worst in the United States, it really devastated AAA in a lot of ways. But in the US, NWA had their growth strategy in place, and then COVID hit. So they froze everything, you know, in a lot of ways they froze everything. But they make progress. It goes without saying, I'm a huge proponent of Fight, that that is a technology first company. They really know how to market, and things are rolling along. And I think it is a fantastic brand that is only going to get bigger, because I just think the world continues to migrate away from broadcast and cable, and we're more and more streaming. And that's only going to strengthen the NWA, the weekly episodic folks that are putting out content week in, week out. It's only going to grow. So I'm happy. I was thrilled to death to be a part of that, but I see growth for those guys. Even, you know, it's easy to say this, but you know, they don't have a 6-month plan. They're 12, 24, 36 months, how they're rolling things out. And Billy's being strategic. I guess that's the easy way to say it.
Thank you for answering my question, Jeff. Yeah, I consider you a horseman. And of course, go Pats!
Whatever. Okay, whatever.
Appreciate it.
I know that I'm not in the minority on this. So anyway, if anyone would like to dissent on this opinion and, you know, jump on the boat with me that JJ Double J is not a horseman, feel free. Matt Williams, you're up next.
Lauren, that's begging for a comment. you are just going to get, I won't say. Anyway.
I welcome it, Jeff Jarrett. I do.
Well, Jeff, I'm glad I have a double T and a double L in my name. And if you throw my middle name in, there's a double E in there too. So definitely have that going for me here. So first off, I want to thank you just for the podcast in general. One thing I know I caught the other day, and I just appreciate as I even get a little older, is your willingness to kind of go certain places with emotion and just kind of let yourself experience that in the moment. I think especially, you know, for guys our age, or I should say my age, just to see that as an example, I think that's healthy. So just appreciate you for just being open about that in the show. And just thanks so much for that. So just means a lot to me as a listener. So
in one of the emails, I don't want to cut you off there. One of the emails, a guy kind of wrote a nice paragraph on, because I said something to the effect, I've showed more emotion in the last 4 years than I did in the prior 25 years combined, which is pretty truthful. And he related to that. He's like, yeah, that's me. That is absolutely me. So I do. I think it's healthy. I say that I'm a physical health nut. I really like to get in the gym and do all that kind of stuff. But I think from an emotional standpoint, I've learned the hard way. At some point, the emotion's coming out. And if you don't kind of moderate it, it's going to come out in ugly ways. So go on with your question. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, I really appreciated just learning in the podcast. Specifically, you talk a lot about Dutch Mantel. And just, I'm really curious from your perspective. I was a huge TNA fan those early days, 2006 to 2009, especially. How integral was Dutch Mantel to those days of success? I mean, what role did he play and how integral was he?
So he you know, I'm not going to say Dutch is one of the first on AL chat, but as far as Dutch is a doodler in a meeting, if that makes sense to you, a doodler, and he'll scratch. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's super organized. That wasn't his job. Dutch, I guess you could say his job description, which I always is, he had a real sense and a vibe. And I don't want to say just street smarts, but he could really look at a product or a show. And man, I don't know how many times that we would be sitting there and he'd go, let's take a step back, guys, and kind of look at, remember what we did 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or this or that, and ebbs and flows. And it goes without saying he was a part of, I don't know how many things. Dutch is a really good storyteller by nature. He's been successful at booking in multiple places. What he did at Puerto Rico with the IWA, the people don't know, the WWC, Carlos Colon, it was the longstanding 30-year promotion or 20-year, whatever, many, many years. Dutch had an opportunity, went to work with Victor Quiñones. So a true startup promotion that they took from a startup to selling out. And Puerto Rico is an island. So, you know, they run five nights a week and, you know, they're literally every town is a pretty quick drive because it's, you know, it's an island they rent. So Dutch is, again, he's got a real good street sense. And he, one of the things I guess that he taught me, not just maybe high school education or even a college education, kind of a PhD in how to connect emotionally with your audience in a monetization way. That's, look, you can, I'm trying to think how to give a simple example. You can go out as a performer and as a baby face, start clapping your hands and beg the people to cheer. Or you can go out as a heel and tell people to, you know, kiss off or whatever. And you elicit emotion regardless. But there's subtleties in our industry that you can really emotionally connect in a everyday real way life that resonates, and it turns into the, like any great TV show or football or basketball game, you say, I want to watch that. You know, we just had some shout outs to Titans and the Pats, and the emotion that a hometown brings out in all of us, or even if it's a good show, or if we're talking about, I mean, I live in a house, a lot of ladies. So if you folks are watching the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, it has obviously, I mean, I'm dealing with a company in India. And so I talk to them in the mornings and at evenings because of the time change. I literally get the first text of the day, which will be on their day, which will be in a couple hours for me. And it isn't, hey, how's this Excel sheet coming? Or how's this coming? It's, what's the latest on the trial? What have you heard? I mean, literally, it is a global kind of deal. But to me, Johnny Depp has positioned himself as a huge babyface, and Amber Heard, whoo, man, we may see her on Raw in a few weeks. I mean, it is, anyway, Dutch is very, very good. And he's learned through his 40 or 50 years of business, how to emotionally connect, in a very productive manner in our industry. I know that was a long-winded granular. I bounced all over the place, but hey, it's the ad-free family. So.
Well, you made my boss proud in sales. He says, get the customer talking. So I got you talking. So that was the important thing there. So thank you so much, Jeff. Looking forward to seeing you at Top Guy Weekend. Yes. And just have to say thank you for making the Horseman relevant again in 1997. Appreciate that.
But we're talking about.
Sorry, Lauren.
Overwhelming. Overwhelming, guys. Overwhelming.
I am actually definitely overwhelmed by this. Hey, Matt, before you go, I have been trying to figure out what your middle name might be, and all I can come up with is cheese. What's the double E?
L double E, just Lee. So my grandfather, my dad, and I all share the same middle name. So
right on.
There. Thanks for telling me, because it would have driven me crazy. Josh Rosenbaum also drives me crazy.
Have y'all noticed that Lindsay's been cooking the entire show so far? She's in a cooking class down here. Gonna make
She's
some,
giving us a cooking class.
Gonna make some cupcakes here in a minute. Anyway, Lauren, go ahead. We got to keep rolling.
We will get to Lindsay momentarily, and we look forward to finding out what's going on in that kitchen. But Josh Rosenbaum, what you got for Double J tonight?
Coach, what's up, Coach?
Hey, Double J, good to talk to you, pal. I'll be praying for Cody as well on Friday. Get those gold medals and represent, because he's gonna make a lot of people proud, buddy.
That's right.
Now, I can appreciate all the nostalgia. That's great. But the latest version of Double J, The Last Outlaw, is phenomenal. For us old guys, pal, you are bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. Can you tell me a little bit of the how you came up with that character? And secondly, why are you the favorite for the Wrestling Showcase inaugural championship at Top Guy Weekend as the Last Outlaw when you win that championship?
Oh, I guess I am the hands-on favorite.
I think so.
Well, that's new news to me. You know, the Last Outlaw, obviously with the Game Changer folks, but I want to say they had been after me, and I'm like, okay, that's a unique brand. And I'll just say this, that I hadn't been in the ring in a couple of years. So how am I kind of reentering this era of wrestling? And I call it in so many ways, I don't call it the era of independence, but independent wrestling is red hot. And knowing that I'm going to be having the potential, because I think I've shared this. I don't know if I've shared this on here, but at the end of last summer, my phone started ringing when people kind of saw the runway of, all right, now he's doing a podcast. He's doing a little appearance here. Him and Conrad did a live show. They're like, hey, Jeff, are you available for appearance? And then all of a sudden it got, I mean, it went straight to, hey, are you up for wrestling? I said, no. You up for wrestling? No. Up for wrestling? No. I kept getting these questions. And then finally, it wasn't long after Top Guy weekend. It was right in that, maybe a little before, maybe a little after, that I kind of started saying, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to get in ring shape, not just kind of cardio shape. And I'm going to get in ring shape. I'm going to do this. Karen scratched her head. And then I'm like, all right, what is the sort of the evolution? And I'll say I'm the last guy because Sting's still around. There's a couple others, but the last guy that really, really had a run in the territories. So that's where kind of the last part of it and the Outlaw. And then it goes without saying the podcast and Conrad makes, you know, we have fun with it, but got some different stories with Vince McMahon and just bouncing around from territories and starting the alternative and just kind of my whole career, a little bit of a rebellion in there. And then the Game Changer folks, we started talking on different things. And the next thing I know, a collaborative effort on a kind of a sketch. And then it just kind of took off from there. And then Giancarlo, people know, that put together that video, and that was kind of done very simplistically. And, it felt right. And then, kept, you know, I'll call it some one-liners and some promo thoughts and all that. And then off to the races and, you know, in Mexico, I'm known as the King of the Mountain and they like that branding, but the look. And so it's a little bit of a hybrid there. So we're off to the races, coach, with the Last Outlaw. And, for whatever reason, the people in Game Changer don't like the Last Outlaw and they damn sure don't like me in Mexico. Good gosh.
Well, we'd like you here at ad-free shows, and I'm ready for the summer, and no worries, pal. It's going to be a hell of a summer being a Top Guy. See you, buddy.
Let's do it. It'll be fun.
It will be fun. Double J, we actually have a couple of things in common. First, you and I are both big sports fans and also not big fans of movies. Do you have a favorite sports movie?
Oh, gosh. Sports movie?
This should be easy.
Well, what's that? Give me your top three, and I'll tell you. Sports movie.
I love Rudy. That's my top.
I like one. Rudy. I mean, anything with competition. Let me ask you this: do you consider Rocky series?
Yeah.
And especially one. I know it's so old school, but when you know the business side of that and how he sold the script and bought it back and. It is unbelievable success story. So I love the Rocky series. That I think is just phenomenal. It's really good stuff.
I will take it. I highly recommend Hoosiers and The Cinderella Man if you guys are looking for good sports flicks to watch sometime soon. Dave McClay.
Yep, go ahead. Hey,
Lauren, don't forget, Remember the Titans.
Another good one.
There's so many good ones. that you know, Field of Dreams, you can just keep, they keep, it's hard to really name one.
True.
Hey, Double J, I hope you've seen The Sopranos.
Of course I haven't.
Oh.
Hey, you think Conrad's upset at me? My wife is 1,000 times more upset with me. She says that's probably her favorite overall series, and she is a TV watching. I watched a little bit of Ozark this past weekend in Mexico. That's a crazy series too. But anyhow, go ahead. Sure.
Okay, my question is this. When you went to WCW for your first run, it was when the company was on fire. But when you went back to WCW in 1999, it seemed like that was when, like, the company started going downhill. So when you went back to WCW, what were some of the differences that you noticed?
Well, if you look from a ratings perspective, in 97-ish, 98-ish, and I know if our pal Eric Bischoff was in here, you know, the pendulum swung back, the hotter Rock and Austin and all that. You know, 97 to 99 was really red hot. I knew going back down there that they were losing the war, so to speak. What I really didn't realize is the infrastructure that was there when I left, I thought would at least kind of be the same, not in the same stratosphere. I had no idea walking into the set of circumstances with Bill Bush and JJ Dillon and no Eric Bischoff. And then Eric came back. And then all the, you know, it's easy to figure out who I'm talking about, but there were live events advertised and you get there and say, this is the card that went on sale, like say 8 weeks ago. And this is the card that's actually there. And the people that you're actually going to, okay, let me say this, the card that was advertised when it went on sale, and then the card that was advertised, let's say a week out, and then the card that was actually executed, three different set of circumstances. It was unbelievable. Disorganization isn't really the right thing. The set of circumstances and how everything was managed was, it wasn't even the same company in so many ways. Creatively, corporately, obviously attendance wise, you know, in the end, when they were doubling up Nitros and Thunders and live events and the on sales and just the execution, and it was a mess. There's a lot of, when I went there the first time, the company was definitely, you know, obviously on the way up and rocking and rolling. And there was a lot of people rowing in the same direction. That wasn't the case when I went back.
Oh, wow. Well, again, it's so cool being a Jeff Jarrett fan now, and I always will be, especially with that poem you came up with last week. Oh. Those words of that poem, I don't mean to be personal, but I'm going through a tough time in my life, and I wrote that poem at work on a board.
Did you tweet it?
Yeah, I did.
You're the one that tweeted it, right? I saw it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah, and strong. Yeah, and I just want to like look at that every day to remind myself how I can be better at what everything going on with me. So thank you, Mr. Jarrett.
Good
really
for you.
Really want to talk to you tonight.
Good for you. Can I give you a little tidbit here? I'm getting a little granular here. Read it before you go to sleep. The brain basically imprints about the last 15 minutes of thought and carries you through the night. That's your tip of the day, pal. That's true though. They've done a boatload of research, but about the last 10 or 15 minutes, what you take in is kind of what you resonate on through the night. So read it before you go to bed.
Wow. Thank you, sir. And please sing with my baby tonight. Next Top Guy weekend. Looking forward to that. Thank you.
We got to get Road Dog there. We got to get Road Dog there. And then we will.
All right, Dave, I have a great idea. Instead of reading the poem before bed, you call Jeff Jarrett and have him sing With My Baby Tonight and see how that goes for you right before bedtime.
Oh, bless it. He'll have nightmares.
Okay.
All right, guys. Glad to have you, Dave. It's about that time. We're going to check in with Top Gal Lindsay and see what's cooking in the kitchen. Hey, girl, what you got?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hello, Lindsay.
Hi. I am actually going to Dynamite tomorrow. They're here in Baltimore. So I am getting some cupcakes ready to give out to a couple of people that I'm going to be seeing there. So that's what I'm doing in the kitchen now. I'm making vanilla butter cake and milk chocolate cake, which are actually the same flavors that I made for you, Jeff, back in June when I met you.
Right on. Nice.
Yep. So I actually, I know that this chat with you has been rescheduled a couple times.
Yep.
And they were kind of teasing in the beginning when it was first rescheduled that there's a special reason about why they've been rescheduled a couple times. I was just wondering what that was all about.
You will find that out. I was doing 2 weeks ago, I did a special for one production company, and last week I did a special for another production company, and you will find about about both of those, I'd say in the next 60 days. Stay tuned.
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. It's good to chat with you.
Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay.
All right, Jeff. We're glad to know that you don't stand us up for just anybody will be.
When you guys, I think, especially this group, one of the deals I did, you're going to go, no way. There is absolutely no way he did this.
Ooh.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, stay tuned, you guys. I bet we'll be the first.
Oh, look at Coach is scratching his head like, now, what could that be?
I love it. Up next, it's Paul, MILLETT. Paul Millett, what you got?
Well, thanks for stealing my joke, Lauren. I was set up with that.
That's her. She's stealing Conrad's lame-ass horseman shtick. And now she's spelling your name. So that's how she is.
I'm stealing all of your hearts in the process. Own it. Okay. Hey, Paul.
I'm just going to throw this out there. If Paul Roma is a horseman, Jeff Jarrett is a horseman.
What I'm talking about. Right
without now. A doubt.
That's what I'm talking about. Look at his story in there, brother. He's definitely gave me
My question for you is about Eric Embry. Grew up, watching him and watching all that stuff. And I just wondered why he never, I know he had an injury that stopped his wrestling career, but why did he never transition to a backstage creative position?
You know what? That is a really, you guys listen to the podcast. It's one of those things that Conrad, he puts it like, man, that's a good what if. And I really think that Eric, at the very core of it, he went back home to Kentucky and he just wanted that life because his brain was probably his best asset when you really look over his career, because he booked in Texas, he booked in Puerto Rico, a mind for the business, a hell of a talent in the ring, but he must have not wanted to pursue it. Also, when you look at 90, 91, 92, you got to kind of look at where WCW was at with regimes, if you will. We could go through the Herds and Dusty and Watts, and then Eric came along. Eric never pursued that route. I certainly wish he would have, but that's a really good comment because his brain is without question an asset to the industry.
All right. Well, thank you for answering my question. I'm a huge fan and I am loving what you guys are doing with the podcast. So
appreciate that, man. A year, 52 episodes out. Crazy.
All right. Have you had a favorite episode of the 52? What's your favorite?
I don't really have a single favorite. I think there's some moments in there that Conrad, I told him, not after we did From Hell to the Hall. It was one of the prior episodes. I'm like, damn you, Conrad. It's like, man, you caught me so out of left field. But I've kind of learned to just sit down. I read the research and do some of my own and pick my brain and make a few different calls to try to jog my memory. And then kind of when we hit record, I do try to tell myself, let's just roll with it. And, so I don't have any one particular, a lot of moments though.
Great. Well, we hope you'll keep it up for a while. Brian F., what do you have for Double J?
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Double J.
Good evening, sir. Uh-oh, you freezing up?
Last week we talked about coaching about basketball for you. Have you been watching HBO?
All right, is that me or is that...
It's Brian. Can you ask your question one more time?
He's asking about the Lakers show on HBO. Have you watched it?
Oh, I have not. I tell you what, I read blogs every day. I allocate about 20 to 25 minutes of entertainment and all kind of blogs. When I read that Jerry West flipped out on it, it made me immediately say, I got to go watch this. And then I haven't got around to watching it. And as time's gone on, it's like, maybe I don't want to watch this. Karen likes to tell a story that I am not really an autograph seeker, so to speak, or if somebody, you know, we have gone to, God, I don't know how many music events and, you know, so my fandom, we all have our different avenues. We were at a pretty high level corporate lunch in LA. It was a very high level lunch that Karen could not believe I was doing this because we were at an outdoor patio in Los Angeles and probably 12 of us around the table. And I was down at the very end, but kind of boxed in. But I could see, I'll call it the limo drop off, the entrance drop off. And out of the limo stepped Jerry West. And I kind of did a double take. And Karen looks at me and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "You're not going to like this, but I'm getting up from the table." She says, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "Oh, yeah. Well, watch me." She goes, No, just wait. See where he's seated." I said, "Not a chance." So I got up, left the table. The people at the table were like, "Where's he going?" Anyway, so I went up, "Mr. West," and I had probably within the 12-month period of that, I had read his book. And, man, you talk about a guy coming up the hard way, and I'm a basketball junkie, as Coach knows and a few others know. But anyway, Jerry West is one of my – I'm a huge fan of not only what he did on the court. Look, you people are going, "Who cares about Jerry West? This is a wrestling ad-free." Anyway, Jerry West was a phenomenal on-the-court basketball player, but he also masterminded a sports franchise. I don't think he has any peers in executive leadership. He put together the Lakers, and he's done other things. But anyway, that's my Jerry West story. But long story short, I have not watched it. I thought you were going to ask me about the playoffs going on. Memphis got their series win, but this year's NBA Finals, I have no idea who's going to get there. And if you think you do know who's going to get there, you're out of your mind, because I still think it's a toss-up. At the end of the day, if Steph Curry keeps on rocking, they're winning it again. I know that's a very, very probably people aren't in agreement with that, but I still think they can do it. Next question.
That is 100% right about who's going to win. It's really a toss-up, and it was great talking to you. Love the podcast. Haven't missed an episode.
Oh, appreciate the support. I really do. Thank you very much.
All right. Michael Gallagher, what do you have for Jeff Jarrett, not a horseman tonight?
Not a horseman. 100%. I'm sorry. 100%.
I do got to disagree. Jeff, how does it feel to be the glue between the Bullet Club, the NWO, the Four Horsemen? I mean, dude, you're the man.
So I went from the Hell to Hall of Fame episode. I went into that speech in that situation, but I can say in the writer's room or the creative room, or where we were all kind of getting with our writers, and it's not like they're writing a script for us, it's kind of the guidelines, because I'll say the executive leadership just kind of wants to know. Stevie, the writer, he had kind of put the pieces together, and I said, "Now wait a minute, you do know?" And he kind of looked at me, he goes, "Oh no." Well, look, I said, he goes, "Oh yeah." So anyway, he chuckled at that. We got a big laugh. I'll just say this. Conrad's not the only person to go. You're Forrest Gump, dude. Four Horsemen, Bullet Club, NWO. Anyway, what's your question?
It's cool. Not really a question. It's more of a statement. Mr. Jarrett, I was probably one of the only people who marked out when you won the title back in 2000 in WCW. And I got a chance to go to Hogan's Beach Shop last summer, and he's got the Jarrett big gold on the wall. And it was cool because it was the first belt I'd ever held that was actually like a title that somebody actually wore. So yep, it was pretty cool. And then not that long after I was there is when your podcast came out. So I just thank you for doing that. It's really, really cool. But as far as the question goes, I mean, ton of stuff you've done. What's the... I asked Eric Bischoff this. What is a lesson you've learned, running TNA in 2020 and 2002 that you've learned from it, and now that's a lesson you've learned that you take with you going forward?
I did an interview today, and they hit it's kind of a rapid fire, and this guy is going to be doing some type of article on the 20th anniversary of TNA, and that's coming up next month. But we danced around from Mexico, I did an interview today for Spain about the AAA event. You talk about folks, you guys are fans. It's such crazy. It's a global property. A lesson. Oh, you know what? Because I referenced this today. Kind of be present in the moment. I've learned that through the years that, yes, you can do all the planning in the world you want. And I don't want to say stop and smell the roses because that sounds too sticky or silly. But in essence, through the years, I've learned to kind of soak in moments, but also be aware of moments, learn from moments, kind of be present for exactly what's going on. That, look, do today's show the very best you can. Don't worry about next week's show and really until next week's get here. Think about it, plan it, but be present. That's kind of a lesson that I learned the hard way through the years, but literally just kind of focus on the moment.
That's funny because I actually tell my friends who are parents the same thing about living in the moment of being a dad. But the cool thing is my birthday is June 19th. So I remember watching the first TNA pay-per-view on my birthday. Wow. I had, it's every year. It's pretty cool. So 20 years next month will be my 40th birthday. So try to give you like the span from, I was a 20-year-old when you guys first came out, now 20, you know, now I'm turning 40 and then I got a chance to say hi to Jeff Jarrett. So this is really cool for me. So thank you for doing this.
Appreciate the support. Love the t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Get your official ad-free shows and My World t-shirts. They are at adfreecares.com, I believe is the one. I hope that's the website. Adfreecares.com. That sounds
thank
like
you, Lauren.
Absolutely. Good to see you. Up next is Bobby. It's our radio Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Lauren. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Good to see you.
Great. And Jeff Jarrett has to be a horseman because he's also a guitar player.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing this evening?
Hey, yeah, I'm doing great. Doing great. Just picked the daughter up from dance class, and she's got a box full of awards from this past competition. So looking forward to looking at those when we get home.
Love it.
My question for you is, during all of your different gimmick changes and your wardrobe changes over the year, you know, between WWF and WCW and such, what was when it was inside the company, say, like when you came back and were a member of NWO 2000, what was the process like for the change in wardrobe and the change in hairstyle and all of the different, you know, with the shades and the guitar and all of that kind of, what was the process like?
So, and I'm making sure I'm understood your question. Maybe somebody help me out. What was the change? I got my head shaved in Madison Square Garden, SummerSlam, '98. Mm-hmm. And that kind of persona didn't change a whole lot over the next couple of years because I took that to WCW and then Slap Nuts was born. And then out of Slap Nuts, the yellow and black kind of stuck with it. And then they approached us about doing NWO 2000. So then I sort of backed off of just wearing yellow shades and sort of wore more multi shades and went with the black jeans and the NWO 2000 look. And then, you know, there was obviously like a lot of things in the top WCW at this time, a lot of big plans for it. And then the injuries fell in and that NWO 2000 never took off. Not that it was like going to be shot to the moon. Cause you know, there's even chuckling, the original Four Horsemen, the original NWO, the original, you know, the Bullet Club's one of the only real groups that started with the group and Fergal or Finn Balor and those guys were a part of the original group. And then all of a sudden when AJ got inserted into it and you can look at Wrestle Kingdom, you know, it really exploded in so many ways. And I think the Bullet was at the forefront of that, but the original founding members of groups are always the best version. They just are.
Right. Right. I was more pointing towards like the change from the Venetian blinds outfit to what you wore after that.
So
okay, you've got 2 weeks to find a new wardrobe for this persona, or was it something? I mean, how did that go?
You just, I mean, if you're talking about the double J stripes to the short tights, I knew that I wanted to be, I don't want to call it simplistic, because it really went from the transition of double J and Tennessee Lee and all that. And that they liked, I liked, we were born with the don't piss me off, that whole motif, and to just keep it really down to dirt, boots, tights, and t-shirt. It was really a simple that we all, there was no disagreement amongst all creative at WWF and myself. And it was just, this is how we're going.
Okay. And did you actually learn to play the guitar, or was that just a prompt?
It's a lot like my singing. I can do it. I'll leave it up to you to determine if it's good.
Okay. All right. Well, good to talk to you, buddy. And thanks for answering my question. And Lauren, thanks for doing this.
Appreciate
it. We'll see you guys. All right. We'll see y'all at Top Guy Weekend.
Right on. Looking forward to that.
We can't wait to go to Top Guy Weekend. Adrian Gomez, what do you have tonight for Jeff Jarrett? Did I lose Adrian?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jeff. By the way, I do take issue with what the gentleman said before about being one of the only ones to mark out when you won the WCW world title. to me, that was I was more interested in that Spring Stampede event than I was in the WrestleMania at that year. I have a question about ring cooking. Now, I find your career both in the ring and outside the ring to be so incredibly fascinating. The fact that you really wore every hat in the wrestling game, and you even were one of the first times I heard of wrestling in India was because of the Rinka King project. Now, when I first heard that Jeff Jarrett was going to be on the ad-free team, that's what made me jump to be a top guy. As a promoter in China, I'm an American, so I thought, how can an expat living in America be able to run a wrestling promotion in China? And there's not that many examples of an American expat living in a foreign country with not too much wrestling history that went on to do a wrestling promotion. And one of the in the early days of when I built this company, I would read up everything I could about Jeff Jarrett in India. Right. What went into that. Now, I think there's going to be a whole episode about it. I hope so, right?
Yes, definitely. It's coming.
And can you give, I have two questions. One, can you give us a rough estimate of when that episode will come? And number two, can you also give us a preview of what kind of story do you think that will be for us listeners?
So are you living in China right now?
Yes.
And you have your own wrestling promotion?
Yeah, Middle Kingdom Wrestling.
Okay. Have we communicated by email before? No.
Actually, you had Sanjay Dutt reach out to me some years ago.
Oh, years ago. Okay, no. Anyway, I got a question for you, but we'll do it offline. I'm hearing something out of Singapore, but long story short is this calendar year, we juggle different topics, obviously. And Conrad steers that horse completely. I'll try to get him to push it to the top. But that's going to be a fascinating, it's going to be a fascinating story. And to me, here's why, because you have to really look at the situation at TNA at the current time. And that loaded talent roster and the challenges that me and Dutch and Sanjay Dave Lagana was on that team, writing team, but never got to go because of visa. But I'll just say the internal challenges that we faced from our own team just to get that project off the ground, lots of inner office strife over unnecessary stuff. But Endemol India is a production company that, you know, they're a phenomenal. How that show came together, and people don't understand that Colors Network, in, is it relatable in this country, is really the combination of an NBC and an ABC. It's a massive general entertainment network. So to get a time slot and the way it was formatted and kind of the what ifs, that could have been, I don't say a life changing, but a monster, monster product that by timing more than anything, it, from not one layer up, probably four layers up in executive leadership, within the India media system, basically made the decision to go in a different direction. Didn't really, had nothing to do with wrestling or the product or the time slot, anything other than the entire weekend's slate of shows was, we're moving on and we're going to change, take the network in a different direction. So it's going to be a really fascinating, the talent involved, Nick Aldis, Matt Morgan, Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner was a beast that did, I believe, some of his best heel work. It's, to me, yes, it's one of my favorite episodes because we know the characters. We know Steiner, we know Abyss, you know, Nick Aldis, you know, Matt Morgan, Shara, who's in OVEW right now, all the pieces of the puzzle. And, you know, I mean, Doc Gallows, all that talent came together in the most ironic fashion because none of them were being used by TNA. And I thought from the onset of the project, I was going to be using a TNA roster and kind of it, I don't say at the 11th hour, but maybe the seventh or eighth hour, they're like, no, you're not using any of this. They have to be available for Impact, so you can't take anybody. Okay, so we had to put together a completely new roster like that. And when you look back on it now, the what if. So, Rinka King, going to be a great episode. I'm really
looking forward to it.
Yep. All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good to see you, Adrian. Up next is a great friend of the show. And if anybody can settle the debate on whether or not Jeff Jarrett is a horseman, it's only a person who shares my opinion. But let's turn to a wrestling historian to see what his opinion is. Hey there.
Lauren, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes,
great. So I hate to disappoint you, but Jeff Jarrett is a horseman.
This is fake news. This is all a lie.
Mr. Jarrett, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Very good. Very good.
Great. So speaking of Dutch Mantel tonight, can you tell us the story behind the percussion match you had with him?
Oh, my gosh. We don't have time. We truly don't. The only wrestling match that is currently and probably ever will be in the Smithsonian Institute. It's on YouTube. It's called it was a PBS special called the Lonesome Pine Specials. It all came out of a percussionist by the name of Mark Guyen. But if some folks may know him as part of Beauty and the Beast tag team, there's a guy named Terrence Garvin, not the Garvins of WWF fame, but Terry Garvin and Mark Guyen were the Beauty and the Beast, went out to Texas. Guyen is a studio percussionist. He's the one who originally pitched it to the conductor in Louisville. Long story short, they went to my father. My father goes, what's it pay? You want to do this? And just because me and Dutch's relationship, we wrestled in front of a symphony audience. And the orchestra was conducted off of our match. The beginning, the middle, and the end, and everything was involved. It's really a fascinating. It's one of those things that you have to kind of see it to understand it. But the match literally is in the Smithsonian Institute. Go out of your way to watch it if you haven't seen it. It's fascinating. If you're a wrestling fan, you will say, yes, my crazy wrestling has been a part of a very famous symphony in Louisville.
All right, great. That sounds fantastic. And I just want to let everybody know that to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Jeff Jarrett's podcast, My World, over on Kevin Sullivan's podcast, Taskmaster Talks, we actually did an episode covering Jeff Jarrett's WCW career. So hope you guys check that out.
Right on, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Very cool. James Sorensen, what do you have for Double J?
He knows I'm a horseman, but he's tongue-tied right now. James, where you at, pal?
James is usually tongue-tied, so this is not surprising. Hey, buddy, you got anything for Jeff?
I do. Sorry, I'm on call. I work for a cleaning and restoration company. Can you hear me?
We can. Roll, what's your question, pal?
Knowing you has been an absolute amazing blessing. But there's a gentleman that is willing to cut off his hair Top Guy weekend if we get to $2,000 dollars for charity. I was wondering, would you be willing to cut that Kentucky waterfall off for it?
Are you talking about Lauren get her head shaved? Yes, she's up for it.
She would never. She would absolutely never.
She's up for it.
Oh, my gosh.
But today's a special day. Today's special, though. We are 4 months away from Top Guy weekend. Tomorrow's the fourth day of...
James, I think we're losing you, buddy, but that's okay. We'll be sure to get you in next time. Up next, Christoph Hankerson. Good to see you, Christoph. And what a cool name. Also with double Fs at the end. I love it.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, yes, buddy.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey, double J's. It's good to see you. Good to hear from you. I had the privilege of being at the TNA panel at WrestleCade this past Thanksgiving, and
right, really
loved hearing a lot of the stories about how TNA was formed, and also have enjoyed listening to the podcast. I have not missed a single episode. I think it helps that I drive for a living. When I'm in my Amazon van, I am pumping ad-free shows all day, every day. I love the business sense that you have for it. I tell anyone that's interested in how the wrestling business works, I always plug you guys. I did it a couple weeks ago, so.
Right on, man.
Anyways,
yeah, appreciate that.
So the question I have for you might be a little less complex, and you might not get as granular in the weeds with it, but it is this. Since you are mostly primarily known for being a heel during your time in all the territories, you know, like WWE, your time in TNA, WCW, since you're mostly known for being a heel, who would be on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling heels, like, of all time, across the board?
Oh, man, that's a good one. It's so hard to just – Jerry Lawler in his heyday as a heel. But, of course, I'm biased because that was in my childhood memory. I think Flair, when he was I hate saying his prime, a younger Rick as a heel – man, Jake, Savage, you know, all of those are, we've got into such a different era of,
right.
I truly believe now we, it's probably more applicable to use the term protagonist and antagonist as opposed to heels and baby faces.
Right.
It's not even good guy or bad guy anymore either. But so when you're saying heel, it takes me back a few years. If you don't put my ass on that mountain, no, I'm kidding. You got to do a big heel. That's a good one to really think through. I'm trying to think more. There was really nothing to like about when Mr. Perfect was in his prime. He was really good wrestling heel with Bobby Heenan. That package was really, really strong in so many ways. I could ramble on here. Roddy Piper
in
his heyday was
a
fantastic just detestable. Nothing to like about him, but you wanted to watch him get his ass kicked. So yeah. Good question.
I think in and out of the ring for him.
Yeah. Yep. It's hard for me to really land on four.
Thanks, Jeff. Right.
And thank you, Christoph. We're kind of winding down. We got the final few here, Jeff. So up next is Joe M. Hey, Joe.
Hey there.
Hey, hello, buddy. Sir.
Thanks for picking me, Lauren.
Glad to do it.
How's it going, Jeff? It's good to meet you here.
Appreciate you hanging on here.
Yeah. As for you being a horseman, I'm on the fence. I need to do my research.
That's your problem. I'll kick your ass off that fence and push you back to the other side, and you'll know I'm a horseman.
Well, I just got to watch during that time because I wasn't watching until you actually just joined WWF. So I was like, you're already gone. So anyway, my question is, besides maybe yourself, as if you're thinking you're with you being in the Four Horsemen, who you think would fit in the Four Horsemen that never been, that was in during the WCW time?
I think candidly, Bullet Club, NWO, Four Horsemen all got watered down. So to try to even add anybody outside the original members, you know, to this day, when I think of the NWO, I think of literally three guys, Hogan, Hall, and Nash. I just don't think going past that, it got into a whole different vibe. So for me to say even anybody, oh, they've made a good force, but I don't see it. I truly don't. From a creative perspective, I totally understand why. It's episodic storytelling that people remember a memory, whether it's Bullet Club or whatever it may be. In TNA, when we sort of came up with the main event mafia and who's in, who's out, do we add? And I know we later added a couple of folks, but the five guys that were the original members had another, I'm not saying 3 or 4 year run, another 12 months to 18 months to sort of create some inner fighting between those guys. That would have been box office. The seeds were set. So, but original founding members, and we touched on earlier, to me, that I think it does the faction a disservice to say, hey, this guy would have made a big good force. I truly believe that.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand that. That's fine.
No, good question. Good question though.
All right. So thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Up next is Gavin Napier, and we have been having a great time over in the chat. Gavin has been cutting jokes, making me laugh all night, and I want to let everyone know who's catching this on the replay. If you're not coming to these ad-free shows, live events, you're missing out on the chat. It doesn't sound like it's a big deal, but when you're here, it's a party. We're having a great time. What you got, Gavin?
Thanks for letting me in after I had to dip out a little bit earlier. Jeff, I actually got to meet you a few weeks ago at ASW up in Madison, West Virginia. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yep. You signed my NWA Dome Globe replica. So I'm definitely Team Horseman for Jeff.
Right on, brother.
My question for you is about the TNA days. One of the things that I always enjoyed about going to the TNA events was you had the meet and greets available with several of the talents, either before or during the intermission. And two questions about that. One, whose idea was it to put the talent out there to be so accessible? Because that wasn't something that I had ever seen at any level of show going back to the early 80s. And two, was there any pushback from any of the talent about doing those? Because if we're being honest, some of them looked pretty miserable.
Yeah, that ebbed and flowed on who was there. So I'm not going to say everybody came to work happy. And a lot of times, how do I say this diplomatically? One bad apple spoils the bunch. One guy show up and say, I'm not feeling this. Don West was the biggest driver. He got pushback, not from me, but kind of internally early. I was obviously, you know, running an organization like that and scratching and clawing and where we came from, creating revenue. But if you're going to create revenue, we were all big, and I say we, Craig Jenkins, Don West, Jeremy Borash, Jason James. There was kind of a nucleus that out on the road, Earl Hebner, although he refereed, he was a part of that, is creating that fan experience. And, you know, when we were, I don't say hitting on all cylinders, but when the live event experience was really, really at its top, we had, you know, I was doing the guitar, the backstage meet and greets. Jeff Hardy was kind of doing his own. We would do a special Hardy deal, and Kurt, the Olympic gold medalist, was doing in-ring photos. When we sort of had that combination plus talent at the ring, and I thought Jay Lethal was very, very important during those times. Anyway, when the nucleus was there, we all kind of saw the vision and knew that this is what sets our product apart, a true fan experience. Growing up here in Nashville and knowing the iterations of different tours and what works and doesn't work. And look, if you're doing a stadium show like George Strait, it's kind of irrelevant to do a meet and greet, but you can do a small group. But when you're doing 1,500 to 2,000 people, if you can really show 300 people out of that, you know, I think it's really hard to get any more than about 300 people to give them an experience. It was, it set our product apart from any wrestling show when we were touring and all that. So, yeah, there was some talent that just didn't want to be there. Like, everybody has a bad day, but all in all, for the most part, people rode in the same direction and they saw it. They understood that's a part of the gig. And now when you go to independent shows, it's, you know, that used to not happen years ago at independent shows. Now you see it's the business model, if you will, of the true, I know this is a hot button sometimes in this industry, but the true independent contractor status. You look at Matt Cardona today, you know, he's got his podcast, his action figures, and then he's out working for 7, 8, 10 different promotions, champions in half of them. But that's an independent contractor that he brings value to the table, to the fan experience. That's what we did. If you're coming to our show, whether it's in West Virginia or Texas or Iowa, wherever, we wanted to make sure when the fans came out, not that just got their money's worth, we gave them experience. And that was very, very successful for us.
Yeah, the only guy I ever really felt bad for was Pope, because he was in Huntington on his birthday and they did his meet and greet after the show. And I think every person that was in attendance hung around. So he ended up being there about 2 hours after the last match. But other than that, it was always a great experience. Thanks for the time tonight, Jeff.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you being a member.
Jeff, I have to tell you something crazy that just happened to me. Okay, are you ready for this?
Oh, I don't know.
I have been riffing over here in the chat with Gavin for a while, and I started to think, we have a very similar sense of humor. I like this guy. He's fun. And then he gets on here and starts talking, and I see that he's wearing an Atlanta Falcons hat, and I was like, oh my goodness, is this the male version of me? Like, I have found my match. And then he said Jeff was a horseman.
There you go. See?
So this is over. This was very short-lived, Gavin, but it was fun while it lasted. Josh Fields is going to round it out for us. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good evening, sir. You've been patient. You've been energetic, and you have often thrown up the four all through the call. So I appreciate that. So bring it home with this last question.
Yeah, you're 100% a horseman. I don't even know why this is a debate. So I was recently watching, don't ask me why, but I was watching Slamboree 97. And it was about 25 years ago, and you had a pretty solid match with Dean Malenko.
Okay.
U.S. title. I just wondered if there's a match of yours from your entire career that you think is super underrated that doesn't get enough talking about when it comes to your career. Do you have a particular one that stands out that nobody really seems to talk about?
You know, there's several in WCW that weren't televised. We did a house show run of just kind of some random matches, a couple of Chris Jericho matches that I thought, my opinion, were really good. I had some house show / live event matches with Eddie Guerrero that kind of came out of nowhere. I had several with Benoit. You really want to go back in time? Me and Eddie Gilbert used to go 30 minutes every night. And people go, oh, 30 minutes. So anyway, Eddie was really, really good. The finish would be time limit draw and then ask for 4 or 5 more minutes. Eddie, I would beat him at 4 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever it is. Kind of those kind of storytelling matches. Those probably first c- come to my mind. Those kind of Easter egg. Me and Conrad, we covered that Slamboree match, and I said, Conrad, that's kind of an Easter egg in my career that it's on pay-per-view. A lot of people totally forgot about it. Me and Dean had good chemistry. He's so good. He was so technically strong and easy for me to have kind of an over-the-top flamboyant style, but still get into that technical mode of things. And I always enjoyed working with Dean.
That's awesome. Thanks, man. Look forward to meeting you at Top Guy Weekend coming up.
Right on. So. That's next step.
Guys, I have great news. If you're looking to meet a horseman at Top Guy Weekend, Arn Anderson will be there. So come ready to get photos and autographs with the real Four Horsemen. It'll be fun. It'll be a great time. Guys, I do want to leave you with a couple of little things before we say goodnight to Jeff. First, I do want to say that you don't have to be a horseman to be a great person. Jeff Jarrett is so much fun. I know we have fun in here cutting up. And Conrad does too, but Jeff is wonderful. He has to be the second sweetest blonde on the Ad-Free Show's team. So thank you so much for being with us, Jeff.
Appreciate you having me. A lot of fun. These are always fun. And I do apologize. But you know what? It's going to be a pretty cool online reaction when the news comes out. You guys specifically are going to go, so that's when he did that episode.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, guys, I know what it is, and I can't wait for everyone else to find. I know what one of them is. I don't think I know the other one, so that's fun. And I have one more thing for you guys. Jeff, you're friends with Dave Silva, right?
Let's just say we're kind of coworkers or colleagues, or we're under the no. Yeah, I love Silva. What's up?
Everybody loves Dave Silva, and guess what? Typically, when we do these fun videos, Dave. He used to be like the main guy who edited them. I'm not sure if he still is, but just in case, I want all of us to wish him a very happy birthday this week. Dave Silva is ageless and eternal, but he has a birthday on 6 de Mayo. So happy birthday to Dave Silva.
Happy. You know what? What's crazy is Dave, he doesn't look 50. I seriously.
Is he 50? You're lying.
51.
No.
Have I ever told you a white lie?
Jeff, you've been lying to me all night telling me you're a horseman. So, yes.
But Dave, Coach Wright, Dave looks good for 50, doesn't he?
Yep, he looks great.
Hey, that's Lauren, great. I have to correct you there. Dave shares the same birthday as me on the 6th.
I mean, Coach, irrelevant, but yeah, Dave's good for 50.
Wow. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to the Hall of Famer, Jeff Jarrett. We look forward to seeing everybody at Top Guy Weekend. If you're not invited yet, there's still time. Jump up to the Top Guy level before the end of this month, before the end of May, or join as an annual member at any point in time. And you will get that golden ticket to Chicago at the end of the summer. It's in September, right? So it'll be a great time with Jeff Jarrett. And of course, all your other Ad-Free Show family. We're looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Jeff, and good night to everyone.
Thank you all. Good night. Go Titans. Horseman, Cuatro Caballero. Good night, guys. Thank you all.